He keeps me all the way. And so for him, dear sake, my cross I'll meekly bear. Anywhere is home, if Christ my Lord is there.
Church, say amen. It's very good to be in the house of God on this morning. If you're just thankful to be alive, say amen, and I'll know you're thankful. We're in a good place, Holland Heights, and God has blessed us with a victory in that we have reached and exceeded our expectations and expectations of many others, but not the expectation of God. Amen. We knew God was big, and he's big, and he's on the throne, and he's showing up for us. Amen. So I thank all of you for your participation in the pledge of the March 15th deadline. We exceeded it in a mighty way. And we know some prayed, some gave big, some gave small, some couldn't give, but they prayed with us. And we don't care what you did. As long as you did something, amen. We just want to thank you so very much for your willingness to participate. And then we give God the glory. And I know Jesus said, more blessed to give than it is. You will be blessed for what you've done. So everybody should feel good about whatever you've done. And the widow did only what she could, but that was more than enough in the eyesight of God. So we thank you so very, 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 very much. So let's go for the 8:15. Let's blow it out. April 15th now is the next goal. And so we know that we can do that as well. Amen? Amen? We can do that. So rethink what you got to do and help us hit that one. And then at the end of the day, we're in a good place. You're giving good. We thank you for that. We're not a begging church. We don't beg. We believe God loves a cheerful giver. And we ain't going to send a plate around 10 times trying to make you give more. We know you're going to do it right the first time. And because you love God as we do, and I thank all of you, and I know God will bless your life. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You are our honored and distinguished guest of the audience. You are the VIP. That is, you're a very important person to us. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. That's right. We believe Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, hung there 6 long hours and shed his blood that purchased his church. There's only one church in the Bible. According to the Bible, it was purchased by the blood of Jesus. That same blood will wash your sins away if you believe he hung for you, if you believe he died. If you believe that and you're willing to confess before this audience and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will baptize you as commanded by the Lord this morning. We got everything for you, clothes, everything. Somewhere to hang your wig, wherever you need to do. We got it. We got everything you need to be saved. Amen. Ain't no excuses. Amen. And if you just mess your do up, we'll pitch in and help you get it fixed. Amen. But we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. You experience a New Testament worship where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will pray. We will take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. If you're in a church where they don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, you need to rethink that. Because the Christians in the scripture, they drunk up the blood every first day of the week. Amen. We have more today in a VIP class. I teach visitors about the Church of Christ. And if you want to come to that, we pray you will come. Trust me, you'll learn things you never heard before. Amen. And if you're seeking the Lord, we know you're not here by accident. We know you're here providentially. Amen. So members, Luke chapter 22. Hopefully you enjoying the study of the sifter. Amen? Amen. And I put the I want to promote the website. Useful, you know, if you want, you don't want a bulletin, it's on the website. You know, you can print it out at your house. You can help us that way. You can print out your bulletin at home. You can go on there. You don't have to get these CDs every Sunday. You can go right to the website Monday morning and plug it into your car. They got USBs in your car, everything now. All you need, do your little smartphone. Go to the website, and it'll come right through your radio. You'll be amazed at what a little card will do. Amen. Just a little extension card, one of them little old USB plugs into your phone. Go to the website, tap on the sermon you want to hear, and you hear it right in your radio. Ain't that good?
Amen.
Go to the website to learn where you can sign up. Learn about our marriage retreat. Learn about the things that are going on. Utilize modern technology. Amen. So the website is up and running. It's doing good. And those are things there for you. Amen.
Amen.
And so now, I put on the website the document that says about the Sifter series. It's about five lessons, and we've done lesson one in the Sifter series, and that lesson was entitled Satan's Desire to Sift You. We did that last week. How many of you was here last week when we did the first lesson of the Sifter? Say amen. If you were okay, all right. So now you already know the Sifter. You have probably done heard this. This is a Sifter. We're going to talk more about the Sifter, but that's the series that we're doing. And today, this morning, last week we looked at Peter and how Satan desired him before he got on the Sifter. He didn't know. And I explained what a sifting process was, and I explained Satan's desire. And today's lesson two, that faith fell not. So in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus told Peter some things there that we need to be aware of. He said in verse 31, Simon, Simon.
Behold, Satan has desired to have you. That he may
sift you as wheat. But
I have prayed for thee.
I prayed for you. Notice what he prayed for.
That thy faith fell not.
Now, Jesus' prayer wasn't in vain, but there's going to be some things that he better be glad Jesus prayed for him. Amen. So, and when thou art converted, he said what?
Strengthen thy brethren.
And he said unto him,
Lord, I am ready to go with thee.
I'm ready. He thought he was ready to go with him, both into prison and to death. And he said,
I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.
This will test us. So today's lesson should be a test for all of us. Questions. Do you believe? Can you make it through the trial? Will your faith die? Will your faith fail? There's a difference. Is there a need at the end of the lesson, is there a need for you to have an increase in faith? Remember, now let's recap just a little bit. Simon, he says, I mean, he used Simon's old man name. He didn't call him Peter. So see, before we get baptized, there is an old man that can come up in this trial. And when you're going through something, you think you're a Christian, you think you're doing good, and this old you come back. Simon, Simon, Satan says. Jesus says, Satan desire you, Simon. All of us need to understand that Satan desires to have us. He desires to have this congregation. He desires to have the world. He desires to have the nation of America. He has a desire to take us all down. Once Satan gets you, then he has the ability to sift you. Satan has to sift you. Now, if you're not a child of God, Satan has no need for permission to sift. You must be a child of God in order for Satan to have to seek permissive will of God, as we pointed out last week with Job. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He said, no, you got him protected. You got a hedge around him. So the best thing all of us can do is to make sure that we are children of God and we are in a protective, sealed condition, so Satan got to approach God before he can get to us. However, if you have not been baptized, you're not a member of the true church, you're not drinking the blood every Sunday, you haven't been washed in the blood, you are not protected, you're not sealed, Satan needs no permission from God because you belong to him. That's tough right there. Amen. All of us want to be children of God, but you can't. You're children to whom you obey. You're servants to whom you obey. If you're living in a way that you're not obeying God, you're not a child of God. But to obey God, you got to have a spirit that's connected to the spirit of God, and that spirit bears witness to God that you are his child. You only get that when you're baptized. Now, when we look at what is sifting again, a sifting is a sieve, and you know what the simpler way is this process here that you've seen your mother cook flour to cook a cake or something, and they put the flour in the top, right? And the purpose of putting the flour is to sift it, agitate it, shake it up, so that the powdery form makes it through the screen, and anything on top, she throwed it away. Anything on top in Palestine, they'd have a bigger sifter, and they'd put the wheat on top of it, and they would shake it, and anything on top, they would burn it up.
So what we're saying is, what Satan's going to do is, here's how we make the application. He desires to put us on here, and what must make it through the trial, once the agitation starts, the faith must make it through the trial. So when you're going through a storm, here's the principle. When you're going through the storm, you're on the sifter. But what God is looking for, will you make it through your trial? Will you make it through your storm by faith? What if faith goes through the sifter, you're all right. But if faith stays on top, you burn. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only way through a trial is by faith. That's the application. Now, when we are going through trials and tribulations in life, it is an agitating process. It sends us through a shakeup. Congregation can be shook up to the point folk think God is not with them. People can be shook up in their lives. Things can be going. So trials dark on every hand. We may not understand how God gonna get us to that blessed promised land. There's trials everywhere. We look at others who are not righteous, live in any kind of way, but it looks like they're in better position than we are. However, God sends us through tests and trials so that he tests us on our belief. Do we believe that God is bigger than the situation that we into? As a congregation, did we believe that God was bigger than the man who tried to take the building? God is bigger. If we have faith, our faith said it don't matter what's going on, we're going to wait on God. But if we know the only way through the trial is by faith, if your faith fails, that word fail, when you look at you define it, it's like you can say, if your faith die, or if your faith cease to be during the trial, it failed. Let's say it again. Say, if you got a live faith and it put you on the sifter, and during the sifting, your faith dies, or it ceased to be faith no more, and it failed. Now, it's important. It's one thing to be shook up and agitated, to have a lack of faith. It's another thing to be shaken by faith, your faith to be shaken up. But it's a whole different situation when it fails. Let's look at the story. Now, I gave you some text to read, but we're going to read some to you because I know us, we don't read. So I'll read it to you. In Luke 23:22, verse 23, notice the story. Because you got to get it to see. Now, this discussion is taking place before Simon is put on the sifter. So in verse 33, he said, Lord, I'm ready to be on the sifter base. He said, I'm ready to go. You go read with me, my brother. I mean, anytime you want. Now it's time for me to start working on him. He needs some training.
Lord, yeah. I am ready to go with thee.
Yeah, both.
Into prison.
I'm ready to go into prison. Now he believes, like many of us, that we ready for whatever God going to send our way. Then he says,
and to death.
That's when you feel like you're strong in the Lord. You know, I got it going on. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm going to church every Sunday. You know, I'm doing what God told me to do, and I'm being blessed. I got a good job. My house, God is blessing me in a big way. I'm ready for whatever comes. Okay. And he said, Peter.
I tell thee, Peter.
See, I tell you what.
The cock shall not crow this day. Before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest
me. The rooster going to crow, ain't going to crow. You're going to be able to deny me three times before the rooster even crow. You know, before it's early in the morning. You crow early in the morning. Y'all, the rooster's crowing early in the morning, right? right before morning, you're going to deny me three times, but before he crows. And then he says what?
When I sent you without purse.
I sent you without purse.
And strip. Shoes. And shoes. Lack ye anything?
And he's talking to all of them now. All his disciples. Read.
And they said nothing.
Nothing. No. Have I taken care of y'all? No, no. You've been too good. Then he said it to them, but now?
But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it.
You ain't going to need your purse.
And likewise his scrip.
Yo, he said, take your purse, take your scrip.
And he that had no sword.
If you have no sword.
Let him sell his garment and buy one.
Okay, get your sword. Read.
For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me.
Uh-huh.
And he was reckoned among the transgressors.
Yeah.
For the things concerning me have an end.
Mm-hmm.
And they said.
And they speaks back to him. They speak to this disciple. Go ahead. There's a lot of good stuff in here. But we got to go on.
Lord, behold, here are two swords.
Said, now, we got two weapons.
And he said unto them,
That's enough. Because he all wanted prophecy. The prophet had it that he wrote chop his ear off anyway, so he had to have a sword. Not that he needed it. Jesus said, that's enough to carry out the prophecy. Read.
And he came out and went as he was wont.
Now, so he's headed to the Mount of Olives. Now, this is the last 24 hours of his life. He's already been through six trials, and he's already, he's getting ready to be trained that he haven't gone through. But he know the next 24 hours he's going to be on a death row inmate. So he's already told them, I'm hurting. Think something's going to happen. My hour has come. And so they leave the supper. This is where he girded the towel and washed their feet. And he told them there was somebody at the table going to betray him. And they said, who is that? That's what that's because, well, who is this? Who is it going to betray? He said, one of you that's sopping with me. And he was talking about Judas. And at that time, he said, I'm very troubled at heart. I'm sorry because I know what's getting ready to happen. So he's there now. He's on his way to Mount Olives, which is Garden of Gethsemane. And then he says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them,
pray that ye enter not into temptation.
Now he told them, you pray about you. Don't you enter into temptation while I'm going through what I'm going through. And he was withdrawn
from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down.
That's in distance of the eyes, though. He can still see him. So he's a stone cast away, and they can see him praying. Watch.
Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine.
Now, what he knows is that I'm getting ready to be executed. And he's calling to his father. He know he's going to get beat. Now, Jesus is different from us. He know everything. He even know what it's going to feel like. He already know he's going to get beat with a whip. He knows that he's going to be executed by crucifixion. So he knows this. So it's very troubling to him. The human side of it cries out to his father, let this cup pass, but not my will, yours be done. And, you know, if we knew what we were going through, we would be doing the same thing. Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to lose my child. I don't want to go through it. I don't want cancer. We wouldn't know. If we knew, we would be no different than Jesus. Amen. If we knew God could bring it, could take it away, we would want him to take it away, wouldn't we? And there appeared, and that's why he says he was tempted as we are yet without sin. He felt the feelings of our weaknesses and our infirmities. And he says when he was at, and then the Bible says, and there appeared an angel.
Unto him from heaven.
The angels are trying to respond to strengthen him. And being in agony.
He prayed more earnestly.
He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat
was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
And when he rose up
from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow.
He gets up from prayer. He's been praying. And notice what Luke says. Jesus is obviously he's in agony. The Bible describes his blood as sweat, great drops of blood. I mean, he was sweating profusely. And he was in a sense, terrified of what he's getting ready to go through, but he knows he has to do it. And so now he finds, guess what he finds? When he gets up from the prayer, which means he's probably lasting for a while, he came to his disciples and he found them, but not just sleep. Sleeping, it's in your Bible. When I say, hold on, let me teach you. Like if I say, Nadia, you pick up what the scriptures say. Just, now I'm trying to get you to say what the scripture says. Okay. Not just sleep, but sleep for
sorrow.
Bert Wayne will teach you. He know when to pick me up. A good reader know when to pick you up. Yeah, they got to pick me up. See, he sleep for what?
Sorrow.
But the scripture say he slept for
sorrow.
So he didn't just sleep, did he? They didn't just go to sleep. There was a there's a definition here that we don't never consider. He's sleeping for sorrow. Oh, it's interesting. And the good thing about studying the Bible, you can always learn something new. It was a new jump out at me when I was studying, even on this morning. I get up early in the morning on Sundays to study before I come. And this comes out at me, and I say, what does that mean? I preached this several times, but I never dealt with this piece. Sleeping with sorrow. Some translation say, on account of their sorrow. Or their grief was so great that they naturally fell asleep. Now you think, you would think just the opposite. That when you're going through something and it's troubling your mind, that you couldn't sleep. Y'all with me? Because that's typically what we say. But there are facts that we have to consider, and a doctor said that sleeping is a effect of grief. It's a symptom of grief which is not often noticed or diagnosed. It creates profound sleep. And we would say there are mentally, oh, she's going through some things, she's been up a lot, she's mentally fatigued. No, she's grieving. And the doctor said he witnesses in mothers who lose their children at birth that afterwards they sleep. And because of the grief of losing the child. Criminals on death row. There's a study been done. You would think before the execution, they couldn't sleep. But it's found different. That because of their grief, they sleep soundly the night before they die. What's the application? Sometimes we say, well, you know, he's depressed. He's, you know, just in their room sleeping a lot. We normally account it to depression. And sometimes that's the case. But maybe you sleep for sorrow. See, that's a biblical definition that God brought out, that we can sleep for what?
Sorrow.
So we should pay attention to our loved ones who sleep a lot. It could be that you're going through something traumatic. And you're grieving. And because you're grieving, you're sleeping for sorrow. Now, this could be a wife for years in her home with an abusive husband. And all she want to do is sleep.
Didn't think about it.
The Bible is so powerful that it defines us to a T. So I would say to each of us, understand something. That we can get so caught up in our loneliness and our grieving process that you sleep for sorrow, not for rest. There's a difference between a peaceful sleep and a sleep for sorrow. So when you've been through the sifter, sometime you grieve so bad that you'll be in the state of these apostles. So I say, well, when was Peter being placed on? The sleep tell me he's already agitated and disturbed because Jesus told him, you're going to fail. Your faith going to fail you. No, Lord, I ain't going to. No, he's already agitated. He's sorrow. Watch this. Then the Bible says,
why sleep ye? Rise and pray.
Jesus, he said, why sleep? Get up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he spake,
behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him.
Oh, there he is. But Jesus said,
Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
You going to do this, Judas? You really going to do this, right? For real? He knew he was. But when they were about
him, saw that would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword?
He told going to need a sword. And one of them
smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear.
Guess who that was? Simon. Remember the old man? It wasn't Peter. No, Simon done showed up. You know how you want to whoop somebody? Your old man can show. The old man wants the duke. He wants to fight. Peter knew that I got a sword, man. Hey, hold on. Simon kicks in, so he's sifting. Satan is starting to test him. He's on the sifter. Here he go. Here he go. The old man is working. He's in a fight mode. Then he says, and when they said, one of them, that's him, he smote the high priest, cut off his ear, and Jesus answered, said,
suffer ye thus far?
No, don't touch him like that. And he touched his ear
and healed
put
him.
Jesus put the ear back on. Now, don't try that today, because Jesus ain't going to put no ear back on. You going to jail. Somebody snot cut somebody's ear off, you going to jail. Yeah, and we going to call the police, you pull your knife out. Get him, Quince. Lock him up. And Jesus said unto the chief priests, captain of the temple, come to him, but ye
be ye come out
against the thief
with Jesus swords
said,
and staff.
He questions, what have I done illegal? Then he says, you come with me with swords and staff, like if I got some way of, have I done anything? He said, when I was daily with you in the temple,
you stretched forth no hands against
when
me.
When I was in public, you didn't do this. Read.
But this is your hour.
But I know. He said, this is your time. You got you going through what you got to do. This is the power of darkness controlling you. See, when you are acting like a fool in the world, the power of darkness, you are in the power of darkness. Understand this. The children of God walk in the light. Children of God don't act up. Amen. They are in darkness when their control and their spirit is released to Satan. Amen. That's when you say, that brother got a bad spirit. The Spirit of God does not cause Christians to act up. And they took him.
And led him. And brought
they led
him
and brought him into
the
high priest's house.
And Peter followed him far off.
Peter, now he's on the sifter. He's on his way. And he's getting ready to get tested. And when they had kindled fire in the midst of the hall,
we sat down together.
Now he's referring to him as who?
Peter sat down among them.
But certain men beheld him as a set by the fire
earnestly and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him.
And watch what Jesus told me, he's going to deny him how many times? Three times. Number
he
one.
Denied him saying,
there's number one. Number one right there, mark that. That's denial number one, saying, woman, I know, I don't know him. Verse 2:28, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said,
man,
number two,
I am not.
Man, that ain't me. I'm talking like when the boy's in the street, man, that ain't me, man. You know what's up? That's what's up, chilling. I'm just chilling over here, kicking it with the homies right here, man. That ain't me, man. You know what? You feel me? Yeah, that ain't me, man. You know. Then Peter said, man,
I am not.
That's that now number three in verse 60. And immediately while he spake, what happens? The rooster crows. And the Lord turned and looked
upon Peter.
And Peter
remembered the word of the Lord.
Based on the Lord looking at him,
he
remembered
how
he said
unto him.
More coming on that one.
Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Now look at the effect of being on the sifter. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, everybody turn to Matthew's account. Verse 26 and verse 69. Then I'm going to make some application, and then the lesson be yours. Matthew's account. Something different in it. Verse 69. Chapter 26, verse 69.
Now, Peter sat without in the palace.
All right, now here it is. It's the same as Matthew's account of. Luke gave his account of what he saw. Some of them, in the different Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or the synoptic gospels, and those three have the same account told by three different people, and they're in sync. So you learn something from one, you won't learn from the other. So in Matthew's account, he said, Peter sat without in the palace, and the devil came to him saying,
thou also cast Jesus of Galilee.
Yeah. You were with Jesus. He said, but he denied
before them all.
Now these are Matthew and Luke calling Peter Peter. Jesus called him Simon. He didn't call him that yet. So Peter, Matthew and Luke, again, their account, they're referring to him as Peter. But he's still in the Simon mode. Notice what it says.
But he denied before them all, saying.
There it is. Now, he denied. Mark Matthew says he denied him for it all, saying,
I know not what thou sayest.
And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him
and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with
Jesus.
Yeah,
he was with Jesus. I seen him. And again.
He denied with an oath. I do not know the man.
I swear I don't know him. You know how you do with an oath. You know, you're trying to get out of something. I swear I don't know it. That's lying. You know how you can swear and lie? And then after a while came unto him
that they stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them.
Surely that you one of them. Look how you talk.
For thy speech be
when you're a thug, you speak like a thug. People can understand thug talk. Amen. Is that right? When you're a thug, you talk like a thug. That's why you guys ought to learn how to get you a new language, man. You got that, you know. I'll leave that alone. But then began he to what?
Curse and swear.
And this is Simon. Remember what Simon used to do? How many of y'all used to curse? Amen. Say amen if you did. Amen. Don't lie in the church building. Say amen. You're cussing. You were a cusser. Some of you still cussing. How many of you still cussing? Yeah, I mean, go on, tell the truth. Might be your old man coming up every once in a while. Soon you get tested, you start cussing. When you're going through a trial, you start cussing and swearing. That's he said, I know not a man immediately cockcrow. Peter remembered the word of the Lord.
Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
All right, so now let's make an application. We've read the text. Why is Peter cursing? The old man is on the sift. See, if you don't come, if you can get baptized, but if you don't come to learn to grow, you're going to go back to doing what you were doing. Amen. And once you get on the sifting, that's when you'll leave. See, some of you will never get to heaven because you ain't faithful to the Lord. Your old man must be crucified, which means you got to put him to death and you got to learn how to keep him dead. And you do that by coming here. So what's going on? Satan have Simon. He's on the sifter. Satan is working on his belief system. He's shaking him up. He's agitated. He's denying Jesus, the one he said he believed in. Not just one time, brothers and sisters, but Simon denied him three times. What's going on? Peter has lost focus, total focus of the fact that he was a disciple of Christ. Peter has forgot the Lord. The trial is bigger than his belief. The trial he's been put under is bigger than his faith. In verse 32, 22, 33, remember the Lord said, Simon said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee. Y'all remember that? I'm going to the prison and I will go all the way to die with you. He didn't even make it to prison. Talk is cheap. There's a lot of folks that we with you, but they don't even make it till the water get hot. And they bail out on you. And you're left all alone. But when Satan starts sifting him, he was tested. His faith was shaken. He didn't think about Jesus. His belief in Jesus fell or was shaken. It did not hold up under the test. Only after the sifter will Peter remember who Jesus was. Notice what I said. Only after the sifter will Peter remember Jesus. You can totally lose sight of your Savior. Amen. In your trial, in your temptation, or in your tribulation. Peter remembered him after his faith failed. Or rather, was tested. Because see, here's something we need to understand. He went out, the Bible said he wept, what? Bitterly. Here's a recap and application for us. When we go through trials in our lives, we are on the sifter. Satan will shake us up to see if we really believe. If we really believe God, or we just talking. See, a lot of people that lip service God. God is good. God is this. But as soon as you things start going wrong in your life, you stop coming to worship. You leave the Lord. And you don't walk by faith. You just talk good. You ain't Peter. You didn't even make it to the prison. Important here to note. Mark this now. Make a note. The only way through the sifter is faith. If your faith failed, you did not make it through the sifter. Which means without faith, it's impossible to please God. And there are some people who really believe they're going to heaven, but they didn't make it through the sifter. Their faith failed them, and they left God. He started acting like a child of the devil. See, Job, y'all remember Job? When Job was put on the sifter, he was put on it at the request of God. And Job had faith. But when Satan sifted him, notice what he went through. He started with his possessions. Then he took his children, killed his children. Then he started sifting them. He went and got his help. And then after that, his wife was the avenue to kill the faith. So Satan will work through your wife or your husband to take you out on the sifter. He don't care how to do it. He'll take your help. He'll take your possessions. He'll take everything you got to see if you're really living by faith. And the wife asked, told Job, curse God and die. But Job knew he was on the sifter. Listen to him in Job 16, verse 11. Job 16, this is real good right here. Job knew, and we have to know, that no matter what's going on around us, it's a test of our belief. It's a test of our faith. And you can run, but you just go get tested wherever else you run to. Because it's not running from the church or the congregation or people. You're running from the sifter. And the sifter is everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, God will sift you. If God allows Satan, he'll take it. He'll take that opportunity. God, Job said in verse number 11, God had delivered me
to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked.
He didn't give Satan the power. He said, God did this. God delivered him. Was he right? Yes. He turned me over
into the hands
of
the wicked.
He did. He asked Satan, have you considered Job? Job said, man, God did this. He turned me over to the wicked. I was at ease.
But he had broken me
asunder. But Job said, I was living good, man. I had everything I wanted. I was serving God. I was worshiping him. I was sacrificing for my children. I thought I was, in a sense, when you at ease, you don't feel like, you feel like you're protected and you're not at the exposure of Satan. But here's the thing. God let him do it. And he said, but being at ease, he tore me apart. He broke me asunder. How many of us could stand it to lose 10 children? 7 boys and 3 girls in one day. Oh my goodness. To lose one child is traumatic. And then to hear your wife talk crazy. He didn't call her a fool, by the way. Always protects us, Job. He never called his wife a fool. He knew she was talking out of her head. He said, you speak as a foolish woman. See, some of them say, fool, you fool, you a fool or what? Now, he said, no, you talking foolish. And he understood something was wrong with her. Oh, my goodness, what mother could lose all of her children and be okay? Notice that Job described what Satan did to him. He took him by the neck and he did
it. Shake into pieces.
You did that. That's what that is. Here it is. He took him by the neck. That's what he's saying. Job is describing the sifter. Don't y'all see it? He shook me. God gave him to him and he just started tearing me up. Brothers and sisters, I have been sifted. You got to be able to say, I've been sifted. When we have been sifted, you got to have the humility to say, Satan has broken me up. He shook me up. He took me by my neck. Amen. He set me for a mark. What do you mean by that? That's the idea of a bow. The guy got a bow and arrow. Archman. He typically pulled it out and he put the arrow in there. Get some over here. Oh, you don't want me to let it go on you? It wasn't what they said. See old Stroud or that sister minister church cry how high you see. Oh, yeah, y'all thought y'all gonna get away. All the way on the back row, somebody. Nah, over here, here you go. What he's saying? He took a mark. God, what he's saying is that God allowed him to mark me and try me. And so what I'm saying, y'all, when God loosed him, he's very specific on who he wanted him to try. Try Brooks. Try him over there. But when Job went through was even more painful than what Peter went through. Questions. How many of us have left the Lord when time got tough? You don't have to answer. Just think in your mind. You leave him by your behavior. You can be right here in the church building and leave the Lord when you start behaving like the devil. How many here have made the statements, I'm just going through some things. But Brother Brooks, I know I ain't been to worship. And I call him. I know, Brother Brooks, you know. But right now the Lord know my heart. And I'm just going through some things. But boy, I'm planning to come to church Sunday morning. What time it start again? I don't forgot what time church start. I said, oh, it started 9. I said, now, it started 9, but let's not be lying. But just say, I'm going to try to make it. If you leave the Lord when you are going through something, your faith failed you. If your behavior changed, your faith failed. If you become unfaithful and you never return, your faith failed. If you stop coming and never return, those I'm using, don't come back, your faith failed. It means your faith is dead at the time. You have no belief that God is bigger than what you're going through. Your faith failed. You stop getting on the conference call. You stop studying. You stop Bible class. You stop worship. I know you came last month once. I know. That's just pacifying. That's like a baby who needs a pacifier. You stuck it in your mouth. One Sunday, feel good about it. No, your faith failing you. When you obey the gospel, you say, I believe. When you say, I have the faith. How many this morning because can say, I'm on the sifter right now? I got some young men I text with, I try to develop them. One of my pastors developing young men. And if you want to be in my group, you can. We got 25 to 30 of them. But some of them I really focus on because I see them fighting so hard to win. And I test them. I'll be checking them out. What'd you learn today? What'd you see in that brother's meeting? What kind of behavior should you have? Who you see walking by faith? Who's acting it? Who's exemplifying it? What you seeing? I mean, what do you know? What did you get out of the lesson this morning? How does it apply? One of them came back and said, Brother Brooks, I just got to be honest. Well, I hope you're always honest. Now, you know, so I be how people say, well, now, I'm just going to be honest with you. You ain't been honest before. But he said, you know what? I'm on the sifter right now. That's humility. You got to be able to see yourself. I'm on the sifter. I'm being tested. Good. Now that you know, hold on by what? Faith. How many of you came this morning and God done loosened on you? Your faith, you're on the sifter. You're bereaved. You're grieved. You're sleeping with sorrow. You're going through some things. You came this morning because now you look back and you see that Satan had you by the neck and he's been just wearing you out, man. That's why you ain't feeling right. He got you by the neck. Just like he had Job. He's trying to make you leave God. This is true. Peter went out and wept bitterly. See this? This tells me that Peter's faith was shaken, but it didn't fail. You understand what I say? The word fail means die. But remember, Jesus said, I have prayed. When that past tense. He didn't say, I am praying. So he had already prayed because he knew. See, Jesus knew future, right? So he already knew what Simon's going to go through. And he said, what I did, and he allowed the test, but his prayer to God was, don't let it die. Don't let his faith, don't let it cease. Don't let his faith fail. That was Jesus' prayer. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I if anybody can pray for me, if I want it, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Say, Father, now, I know Brooks is going through it. And now he ain't how he should be. But don't. He said, Father, don't let his faith fail. Amen. Help him hold on. Help him hold on. Amen. And if Jesus prayed, his prayer was not in vain. How do you know? Peter had godly sorrow. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7:10, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. What works repentance? Sorrow. You can come to the church, we got the week. But if you don't start having some sorrow for what you're doing, you're never going to ask for forgiveness. What should you do? He said, Lord, increase my faith. So what is the message? Let me just go down the neighborhood. Questions. Who is this message for? Is it just for me? I mean, y'all say just for Brother Brooks. Or is it for you? Amen. I mean, y'all say amen. Amen. Because maybe it's for a mother. And it's your own children that came from your womb that are shaking you to death. Your baby that know you can't stop loving her. She know it. It's your son who know mama loves me, but he putting you through so much. And like you just want to give up. Maybe it's a father who you try to be a good daddy, but your children are sifting you. You feel used and abused by your own. And they're on the sift. They got God to use, Satan is using children. And maybe it's a husband. They're sifting in your marriage. A wife. With abusive, sexually, verbally, mutually, every mentally abusive man in your life. And you just are laying there as if you have no feelings in your body because you can't understand how you ended up with this man. And you say, why me? Why divorce? I didn't marry to divorce. Why me?
You are on the scepter.
Maybe it's a young person trying to live right. You don't want to go back to the world. You ain't trying to go back to selling drugs and slinging and stuff. You don't want to do that, but it sure is tempting when you can't make your car note. Man, just a couple bags, you know. Forgive me, Lord. Amen. Satan whooping you. He took that car note and shook you back to doing what you were doing. And there you go, flossing down the street, looking good again. Maybe a child being in sifted in a dysfunctional family. You got to sit in your bedroom and listen to your mom and daddy fight and fuss and argue and threaten each other and cuss each other. And you just doing this because God is putting you on the sifter. Sifted. Somebody on the sifter because of financials. You're in your state of oppression. Addictions. You can't get off a crack. You're going to go back to doing what you've been doing. You're going to go back to drinking. He's trying it. Can you do this? The story goes about a guy who was riding a train, you know, with a wagon train. He was a driver on the wagon train. And he popped that whip, gah! You know, wagon train be driving. And, you know, y'all seen these westerns, have you? Where they be wagon train, maybe. And he got y'all would have the wagon leader, all the rest of them following. And he was a good one, but he got caught up on alcohol. And they took him out. He couldn't drive. And he loved leading the wagon train. Yeah. This is a story that was told about a TV show. And the brother there was telling it. It ain't mine, so it didn't originate with me, but I heard it. And he was telling how it went. And that man was, and he watching the TV. And they were trying to help him get back on the wagon train. And the wagon train, the normal wagon train driver, he died. And they came to him, man, we really need you right now. We really need you to drive the train for us. We need you to lead us home. We can't get home without a wagon leader. And he said, I can't do it. He was shaking. He said, you can do it. You can do it. So he got himself together. He sobered up. And he got back on there, and he fell in power when he got back on there. And he started whipping them horses. Wow! Oh, and they said, he's leading us. He's taking us home. And then some of them no good at folk that wanted to see it fail. You know how folk want to see something fail when you say you can do it? They looking for a reason to say, y'all didn't do it, did you? Oh, yeah, he can't do it. He put a little bottle of whiskey in his wagon bag. And he was whooping the horse, they were getting, and he started feeling something, he wrote down, and it was that whiskey bottle, and a commercial came on. Then when he said, man, what are you going to do? Don't do it. And so what happened? So the commercial, and then he come back to the TV show, and then and sure enough, it went back that scene when he was getting him, and everybody was cheering him on, and he read down and got the bottle, and he seen it, and the bottle got his attention, and he took his eyes off the wagon train, and he started getting ready to open it up. And I was saying that, don't do it. Don't drink it. No. You know, that's what I be saying about these new converts. Don't leave. Don't go back. Amen. No. Don't you miss Bible class. Don't you miss a Sunday. Don't do it. And then y'all want to see him make it. And then y'all want to see him too, don't you? Go, they need you to get him home. And he cracked the bottle. And he get ready to take it up. And then he got up here and he slammed it. I said, yeah. And he threw that ball down. He kept on waving. Oh, let's go home. I'm trying to say, y'all, we want to see your victory. Slam it, repent, and let's go home. Amen. That's good preaching, brother, bro. Well, I like my own preaching. I do. I like it sometimes. Make me feel good. So here's my closing. I know Florida's going to come up and say something. Here's the key. Make a commitment this morning before you get on the sifter. Never stop believing in God. When you're going through your trial, never, never, never stop worship and never stop believing. Ask yourself this morning, do you really believe God can get you through whatever you're going through? How much do you believe that God can bring you through? Do you need to increase your faith? Do you need Jesus praying for you like he did Simon? And ask God to help you.
Amen.
That your faith fail not. I pray you don't completely die. Because we know Peter repented after he got on the sifter and his faith didn't die. What that means, it is never too late to get it right.
Amen.
All you got to do is say, you know what? He shook me up, but I'm going to be all right.
Amen.
And I come today repenting. I come today asking God to forgive me. I come today, I come back for a new beginning and a new start. And I want that today, Brother Brooks. What do I do? You got to believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory, came and walked among men 30 years, 33. You got to believe, and he was in that garden praying. He was trying to make it through for you. You got to believe that he took him before Pilate, Caiaphas, and other ones before the trial. You got to believe that, that they got him and they whipped him, not because he had done any wrong, because we did it. They beat him with a whip. You got to believe that he went trying to make it to the heavens, to the top of the hill of Calvary, trying to carry the cross so we could all have that chance. Y'all, how many of y'all believe he went? He went to the top of the hill, and there they executed him with nails in his hands and in his feet in order to make us all just want to cry about what he had to go through to get us through this system, to give us the chance to make it, Brother Smith, so that we can say, God can help me. So we can say, God is my father. So we can, like Job said, he shook me. God delivered me into the hands of the wicked. But I made it. I made it because God was bigger than Satan. God is bigger than your trial. He's bigger than your bereavement. He's bigger than your loss. He's bigger than your financials. God is bigger than you, whatever you're going through. But you got to step out today on faith. Believe Jesus hung on that cross for you. He hung 6 hours. Believe when he died, he bowed his head and closed his eyes, but he did it for you. He said it was finished. And he's giving you that chance this morning to come to him, believing that when he died on the cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on a Sunday morning, he rode with power in his hand. He said, go into all the world, preach this gospel, this good news to every creature. He that believeth, notice, and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It's in baptism that you contact the blood of on the cross. And then after you're baptized, only then should you drink this blood. Don't drink it before baptism. It does no good. The old man got to die. He got to go down and be buried with Christ in baptism and rise to walk a new life, born again and regenerated. An heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Then you're added to the only church you can read about in the Bible. Let me repeat that. Then you're added to the only church you can read about in the Bible. That is the church of Christ. There's only one Lord in this book. Only one God, one body. The church is the only church in the Bible. Die if you want to. But don't die outside of the church of Christ.
Amen.
Don't die outside of the truth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Slam the body of unbelief. Slam it. Throw it down. Throw that bottle of unbelief down and get up, walk down the aisle. See, I'm coming to the truth, coming to obey God today. Because when I get on the sifter, I want to get on there by faith, believing Christ died, believing that he was buried and rose again, and my God is able. And I want you to come just as you are. You say, Brother Brooks, I've been through a whole lot. We don't care about what you've been through. We don't care about how lack of faith you have. It's about right now. What are you going to do right now? Are you going to get baptized right now? Are you going to confess right now? Are you going to ask for forgiveness right now? Are you going to admit you're on a sift and you about to, your faith about to die? Better get up and come just as you are. Come as you are. As together we stand and sing the song, by hearing, by believing, by repenting, by confessing Jesus to be the Son of God. And after that, we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. As together we stand and sing. Come on.
Just as I am.
Come on to him now.
One
come on to him now. Admit you on the ship, man. Come to the God. Ask for forgiveness. Repent, confess. Give him your life.
For me.
Give him your life. Give him your life.
And thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb,
O Lamb of God, I come.
Of God,
I come.
I come.
Wouldn't you come this morning? Wouldn't you come?
I
when you come to the Lord. Come to Him just as you are. Whatever you've gone through, bring it with you. Whatever your child, bring it with you. Come on to God. Let Him in. Come on, sing with Him.
To rid my soul
of one dark blood. To thee,
whose blood
can cleanse
each spot.
O Lamb of God, I come. Wouldn't you come to the Lord? Don't let your faith fail. Whatever you do, don't do it. Don't let it fail. Hold on. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Trust God. Trust Him. Let Him in. Give Him your life this morning. Let Him give you that second chance you need. Let Him help you through your trial. Hold to God, don't change your hand.
Within and falls without.
Oh, Lamb of God, I come.
Of God, I come.
Please be seated.
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, thy riches healing in my mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.